Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, as the children even recited that for us. Children, this sermon is for you, those of you not going to Sunday school and still sitting here, especially some of the older kids sitting with us. Children, this sermon is for you. Now, before all the parents go up and leave, parents, this sermon could also be addressed to you. Because more so than the pastor, it is the father and mother who bear the responsibility of teaching your children these things. But children, I'll talk to you today. God knows everything about being a child living with your parents. Jesus himself, you remember, came not as an adult to this earth, but as a baby, and then he didn't just zoom into adulthood one day. He grew. He was 1 year old, then two, then three, then 10, 11, and 12. And then we read this about Jesus as a child when he was 12. Actually, I know you're in Ephesians already, but turn quickly to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. See what it says about the child, Jesus. He was 12 years old. And so for them, it was actually the end of childhood. But sadly, in our times, 12-year-olds are still very much acting like children. Sometimes 22-year-olds are still acting like children. But look at what it said about Jesus' childhood years. We don't have a lot of information of Jesus as a child. But what we have is very, very helpful to you children. Look at verse 42, Luke 2, 42. It says, and when he was 12 years old. Okay, so now we know this is this 12-year-old story. But jump down to verse, says 51 and 52. And he, 12-year-old Jesus, went down with them, that is his parents, Joseph and Mary, and they came to Nazareth, that's where they lived, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now there's lots to say about verse 51, a lot to tie into Proverbs as well. But verse 52 is what I want you children to pay attention to. It says Jesus grew. He grew as children do. He grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. And that continues throughout his teenage years into his 20s and 30s. He grew. Now, all of you naturally grow in stature. Number two on the list happens automatically, sometimes too much. All you children, right, are bigger than you were when you were born. You're growing physically. That's what it means to grow in stature. But how many of you are also growing bigger in wisdom and growing bigger in favor with God and the people around you? That does not happen automatically. In fact, it seems, based on how the world grows up as children, it seems that the smaller the kids are, the more they are in favor with everyone around them, and the older they get, the less they are in favor with everyone around them, except perhaps their peers. So the world gets this all wrong. God, though, wants you too to grow not only in stature but also in wisdom and in favor with God and favor with everyone around you. And so God didn't just give you the verse about Jesus growing that way and you're like, yo, I wish I could be a child like Jesus, which everyone should wish. God also gave you other verses in the Bible to teach you how to grow in wisdom and in favor with God and man when you're growing in stature. And so every time your mom has to get you a new size shoe, pants, or shirt, realize hopefully you also need a new size of wisdom and favor with people. That then brings us to Ephesians 6. So open back to Ephesians chapter 6. This is the verse, three verses, two children so that when you grow in stature, you can also grow in wisdom and favor. Wisdom and favor. Now, parents, there are lots of things you need to teach and expect from your children as they grow up, and we'll get to more of that from verse 4 next time. But these are the basic non-negotiables that you as parents must teach and expect from your children. And children, you'll be happy for me to say you don't even need to eat your peas, but you do have to get this right. But if your parents say eat your peas, then you need to eat your peas too. You children, right? You know basic life skills, basic human life skills, right? All non-Christians even get the basic human life skills wrong, so I want to make sure you get it right. Now, I think you're thinking wrong about life skills already, because if I asked you boys and girls, what is the basic life skills for humans, for boys and girls, boys, you might think of lighting a fire, probably with a piece of flint or something, tying a good knot, that's important for boys, and maybe some self-defense. Those are basic life skills to survive in Africa. Girls, if I asked you what are basic life skills, you would probably be just like the world and say things like, well, you eventually have to figure out how to make your hair. You should probably choose an outfit that matches. If boys don't figure it out, it's okay. They're boys. But girls, they really got to figure that one out. You should probably know how to strike a good selfie pose. Like, that's basic. Because if you can't do those three things, you can't make your hair, you can't match your clothes, and you can't have a good selfie, you're not going to be a well-adjusted girl at school. Those are petty skills. Petty human skills, frivolous, childish skills. Matching clothes is a good skill, by the way, but those are not basic human skills. Those are not basic life skills. Some of them should never be a skill, and some of them are more advanced. They're not the basic ones you need to get right first. Even YouTube and Hollywood celebrities figured those ones out. That's just not that profound. Even they could figure it out. What is profound, though, is the things they don't even care about. It's not hard to strike a nice selfie pose. It's not hard to do some basic self-defense. It's not hard to figure out how to do your hair. Any idiot can do that. There are, though, much more basic life skills that every human must master before they turn 10. There are much more basic human life skills for a child. Now, God knows the first three basic human skills that every child must master. I'm not talking about three of the basic ones. I'm talking about the first three basic ones. The first three basic life skills that every child must master. God knows these three basic human life skills that you must master long before you ever learn to make a fire or make your hair. And it comes in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey. The first basic human life skill that every child must master, okay, this is not mom trying to get them to eat and drink. This is the kid learning something by himself and working on something himself. The first basic human life skill that every child must master is to excel at doing what you're told. Excel, be really good at doing what you're told. That's just a long way to say, learn to obey people. Learn to obey. Before you ever learn to think for yourself, before you ever develop your own opinion on something, you need to learn to obey commandments well. That's the joy of commandments. You don't need to think through them. It's a commandment. Just do it. It's life skills without any thinking required. As an adult, you'll need to think before you do many times. Not with the commandments, you can just do them. But a lot of adulthood is think before you do. But if you as a child want to be good at thinking before you do one day as an adult, then you need to start by doing before you think. It doesn't say, children, figure out when you should obey your parents. It doesn't say, children, think about the commandments of your parents. It says, children, obey your parents. Obeying commands is a basic human life skill. In case you doubt that, every single bad news tomorrow is going to be because humans did not obey commandments. Think about how basic this life skill is. Look at verse 5 also. Slaves, obey your masters, your earthly masters. You see, to be good at the adult life skill of working for a boss, you're going to have to be good at the basic life skill of obeying your dad and mom. And so verse 1, God starts his first verse in the Bible directly to children. He says, children, look up and listen. Obey your parents. Children, here in verse 1, are all those who are still under the care of their parents. So if your mom and dad are still paying for your food and giving it to you, paying for your clothes, your electricity and water, your internet access, then you are the person this verse is about. I don't care if you're 38 or 18 or 8. When verse 1 says, children, God is looking straight into your eyes, kids. And God is helping you as a father to take the first steps at successful human living. Children, God has the most helpful verse for you directly. And it says simply, obey. Obey. Definition of obey? Do what you're told. Just do what you're told. In other words, children exist to learn from parents, not to teach parents. I shared this sentence with my son who walked into my office while I was writing this sentence. Children exist to learn from parents, not parents from children. And he immediately replied, well, maybe another way you could say that is, blah, blah, blah. Now, the irony was not lost on me. So I said, well, thank you for teaching me. Anything else you want to teach me? And we both had a chuckle moment there. We love our kids, and we do learn from them, too. That's definitely true. But that's not a basic life skill. It's not a basic life skill for parents to learn from children. What is a basic life skill is that children learn from parents. Children obey parents. Just do what you are told. So as a child, before you learn to think, obey. And then as an adult, you'll be able to think better before you do something. By the way, this is fascinating, children. Turn to Acts 12. The same word for obey is used in Acts 12 in a very funny story. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Now, in this verse, the word obey doesn't appear in our translations, but it's actually the same word. And so it's got a funny story around it. Acts chapter 12, verse 13. So, Peter is standing outside the door of a house. Verse 13, he knocks. When he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. That's the same word. A servant girl named Rhoda obeyed the knock. Now, we don't say you obey the knocking on a door. You say you came to answer the door. That is obedience. Heard a knock, jumped up, and came to answer the door. How many of you children, if your phone beeps, when your phone beeps, While you're waiting for a friend to send a message saying, Mom said we can play, or we're on our way, or something like that. You know what the beep is for, and you want to see which way the answer is going. How many of you, when the phone beeps, just walk around saying, I'm so glad my phone beeped, and never actually run to the phone? What do you do when the phone beeps? You instantly jump up, don't you? That's the word obey. Instantly, it's like knocking on a door. Somebody jumps up and answers. Who? Well, it's the slave girl. That's literally her job. She's supposed to answer the door when it knocks. That's what obedience is. Your phone beeps, and instantly you jump up and you act according to that beep. Now, actually, Rhoda didn't do that. She was not the one who answered the beep. She's just the one who said, that was a great beep. Look at it, verse 14. It's a funny story, like I said. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gates, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gates. Verse 16, you see the funny part. But Peter continued knocking. Again, when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. You see, obedience is like answering a knock on a door or jumping up because of the beep on your phone. Instant obedience. Obedience that takes a long time to obey is not obedience. Come, dinner's ready. We're still watching. We'll be there in 15 minutes. That's not obedience. Obedience is instant. Adults, our obedience to God, right, is instant, supposed to be. How many of you are like Rhoda, though, that you hear the phone beep, you jump up like Rhoda, you run to the phone, and then also like Rhoda, you run back without taking the phone, without looking at the phone and saying, guess what, the phone beeped. It was such a great beep. You don't even know what the message said yet. Nobody does that with a phone beep. Instant obedience and complete obedience. Obedience of children to parents is obedience that jumps up instantly when parents speak, and it's obedience that finishes the task, that actually opens the door, unlike Rhoda, who was just so excited about the knocking and Peter's voice that she didn't even help the guy get in at all. He just came out of prison. The point, children, is don't debate your parents. Don't tell them to wait. Don't about the task. Just do it. Just do as you are told. As you get older, you're a good parent will start engaging you and reasoning through things. That's fine. That's what you learn as you grow older. But the rule still stays the same. You still have to just do what you're told as well. The point here is learning a lesson on authority. Authority. You see, the point of this command is not just to obey. The point is to learn the more advanced life skill of how do you deal with authority in your life. By being a human, children and adults, you are always under authority, right? If you can't figure that out by the time that you are 5 years old, you're going to be miserable at age 15. And if you can't figure that out by age 15, that you're always under authority, you're going to be miserable at age 50. Parents, you see, children, are just temporary placeholders of authority. They are a temporary authority, and the first authority you're going to face, and a model of all the other authorities you're going to face. When you leave the home one day, some of you are closer to that age already, hopefully you've endeared yourself to your parents so that they, though they are not authorities anymore, they stay good counselors. Because when you leave home, you're no longer under their authority. But then you get all kinds of other authorities. As a child, it's easy. There's just your parents. Children are under the authority of parents. Adults, which you will be soon, are under all kinds of authorities, and authorities much less caring of you than your parents. The police don't love you. They'll literally cable tie your hands together and shoot you if you resist them. The government is an authority you can't escape. They most certainly don't love you. They're out to get you. They literally will cut off your water if you don't pay for it. Banks, bosses, Pick and Pay's business owner, they'll literally force you out of their space. They'll force you one day to sell your car or your house so that you can pay what you owe them. If you sin as a child against your parent authorities, they'll help you with truth and discipline and correction. If you sin as an adult against adult life authorities, they'll put you in prison and forget about you. They just don't care that much. That's why to learn the basic life skill of dealing with authority, children, obey your parents. Obey the best authority you're ever going to have in this life. Because when you lose their authority, when you move out of the house, and you go under the authority of all kinds of different authorities, not one of them loves you like your parents do. They're all worse. Verse 1, back in Ephesians 6, says, children, obey your parents. Obey, do what you're told, your parents, your first authority in life, the best authority you'll ever have. And then it says, in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. This is because at the end of the day, your parents, even your parents, are not your main authority. Up to now, we've only spoken about human authorities. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is every human being's main authority. Your choice, therefore, every day is not really whether you obey your parents or not, or if you're going to obey the police one day or not, or if you're going to obey your boss one day or not. Your choice of authority is much simpler than that. It is simply, will I obey the Lord or not? Will I obey the Lord Jesus, or will I just do what I want to do myself? That's the only real choice you have in life. Are you going to obey the Lord or do what you want? You're always obeying someone, the Lord Jesus or yourself. Obeying yourself always leads to sin and destruction. Romans 6, verse 12 says, let not sin make you obey its passions. Okay, you want things very strongly. Those are passions, right? I really want to play this game. I really want to do this. I really want to go visit my friend. Don't let sin make you obey you and your passions. Proverbs 3, verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and then depart from evil. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes and do sin and destructive things and destroy your life and everyone around you. Fear God, obey God, your main authority, obey your parents in the Lord, and then depart from iniquity, depart from sin, depart from evil things. So children, choose today whom you will obey. And it's not your parents or not, it is first the Lord or yourself. That's good for us too, right, adults? Choose whom you will obey, the Lord Jesus or sin and self. Do you want to know what the right choice is? Like, well, we're at church, we kind of know what the right choice is. But the verse says it. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, it's one of those most simple verses in all of Scripture. Want to know what the right choice is? Obey the Lord or obey sin and self? It is right. The right choice is to obey the Lord. To obey your parents in the Lord. It is right to obey your parents because you obey the Lord. It is wrong to disobey your parents because you're disobeying the Lord. This is one of those verses you don't need to think about to do. You can just do it because it is right. Not because it makes sense, not because it's going to make your life better, not because it means you're not going to get spanked later. It's just the right thing to do. So, children, your first basic human life skill that you need to master is simply do as you are told. If your mom and dad say something, just do it. Because you obey God and not self. The second basic human skill every child must master is to show respect to important people. Show respect to important people. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, obey means simply do as you're told. Honor is like respect. Honor a person means you think very highly of that person. So ask yourself, children, who in your life do you really think very highly of? That you just want to be like them one day. Who do you respect a lot? Who do you want to show that respect to? Who do you want to honor? Well, there are three people who have, from the day you were born, done the most for you. They are the most important people in your life. They cared for you even when you were unpleasant. They provided for you. They will never stop caring for you. Even if you stop caring about them, they're still going to care about you. They're always going to do you good. And we met those three people already. It is your father and mother and the Lord, Jesus. The Lord Jesus, your father and your mother, have done more for you than you will ever be able to repay them for. They've done more for you than anyone else on the planet, by far. And so if you pick somebody to respect and you pick somebody to think very highly of, make sure it's those three people more than anyone else. You see, that is why it is just so wrong for a child to dishonor and disrespect and disobey a parent. It's just so wrong. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. This is a gruesome verse, a gory verse for you boys. Proverbs 30, verse 17 is a wise man's attempt through a very gruesome picture to make a child understand just how bad it is for a child to dishonor a parent. This is what it says. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, okay, so it's kind of like, what's my dad up to now again? The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother. We have it sometimes, right? Children will do everything dad says, but they won't do everything mom says. The eye that mocks a father or scorns to obey a mother will be picked out. You're like, okay, that's gruesome. The eye is going to be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. I told you it's a gory verse. It is so bad for a child receiving all these good things from his mother and father to then be dishonoring in response, to have a bad attitude to a parent. That eye, it's like ravens will come, those squawky birds that nobody likes, and they'll pick out that eye. And then they'll just throw it to the side, and the vultures will come from the Drakensberg and eat it up. And the kid is left there with a bloody eye sockets. You see, the Lord Jesus himself being so good to you each day, children, holds back actual ravens and vultures from doing this physically. It's a picture here in Proverbs, but it's a very good picture, isn't it? It gets the point across. It is bad for children to dishonor and disobey and disrespect their parents. And the Lord, obviously, too. Well, the opposite of ravens and vultures picking at a child's eye that reveals the disrespect to a father or mother, the opposite of that is what Ephesians 6 verse 2 is about. It says, honor your father and mother. And then you don't get ravens and vultures, then you get the first commandment with a promise. The first commandment with a promise. Now, there are lots of promises and commandments in the Bible in Genesis already, but the first famous commandment that comes with a promise is from the Ten Commandments. The commandment that says, honor your father and mother. That's the first one that says, and then good things will happen to you. So it reminds us of the Ten Commandments right here. Now, Proverbs 30 verse 17 was a threat from birds of prey. Ephesians 6 verse 2 is a promise. It's much more positive. You see, there are many things that adults do in life that are the right thing to do, and there's just no reward for it. Okay, you do the right thing, you do the right thing, you do the right thing, and it never makes your life better. That's why we're not outcome-based as Christians, we're commandment-based. We do it what's right because God said so, the end. But there is a commandment that is just right for you children to do, and it comes with a promise. It comes with reward. Obeying as a child is always nicer than obeying as an adult. There's one right thing that always has a reward. And that one thing that always has a reward is obedience to parents. Obedience to parents. The commandment of honor your father and mother is not useful just because it is right. It is also useful because it offers a reward. Obey children, obeying your parents is a right thing you can do that always gets a promise at the end, a reward. Now we'll get to that reward in just a minute. But first let's get verse 2 right. Children, show respect to the two most important people in your life. Honor the Lord, the most important person in your life, by honoring your father and your mother. Realize that your father and mother are the most important people that you will ever have in your entire life. Realize that your father and your mother are the ones who are making you have as good a life as you have, because if they were not there, your life would definitely be a lot worse. They're not the ones that spoil the fun. They're the ones that make any fun remotely possible. Think highly of them. Show them a lot of honor. Demonstrate it to them. Demonstrate some thankfulness. That's how you show honor. Some appreciation. Some respect. Obedience. Love. That's how you do verse 2. Simply as a little payment for everything done for you. Then as you get older, there will be many other important people in your life. Some of them nice, some of them not so nice. And you will need to learn to show them honor too. In fact, boys especially, as you become men, there's going to be another person in your life that will be so important to you that you will have to show them incredible honor. The same word for honor here is used in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, where a husband shows honor to his wife. Because his wife is such an important person to him. And it's not because of what she'll do to him and do for him and help him with. It's just because he's the husband and he's got her as his wife. You will not be able to show honor to adults one day if you cannot show honor to your parents today already. Three basic human skills that every child must master. Number one was, excel at doing what you're told. Just obey. Number two was, respect important people, starting with your parents. Honor your father and mother. The third basic life skill every child must master is, and I love this one, it's aim to be good at all of life. Aim to be good at everything in life. Non-Christians can't do this. Only Christians can do this. Be good at all of life. Do you know why Proverbs, when you go through Proverbs chapter 10 and following, it just gives one verse after another. They don't even relate to each other. It's talking about paying your taxes, and then it's talking about how you work, and then it's talking about how you treat your parents, and then it's talking about how you speak, and then it's talking about how you weigh things and business practices and things like. Why is it such a scattered collection of topics? Because those who have come to fear the Lord and have the wisdom of God are able to be good at everything of life, no matter if every 5 minutes is something completely different. This then brings us to verse 3 and this famous promise. What is this promise, this reward for honoring your father and mother? Verse 3, that it may go well with you. Just all of life will go better. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land or on the earth. Children, show of hands. This is the one time you can participate by raising your hand in the sermon. How many of you children want life to go well? Okay, I see two hands. Okay, adults, how many of you want life to go well? Then do verses 1 and 2, children. If you wanted life to go well with you, then do what you're told and respect your parents. Obey and honor your parents. Obey with a good attitude, as we told the little kids. Then it will go well with you, verse 3. It's a promise. And it always, always comes true. It will go well with you. The children who grow up to be sensible adults in a godly way, not a worldly way, are the ones who learned those skills as a child already. So children, obey your parents with a good attitude. It's that simple. But look past that to the rest of life as well. Say, not only do I want to obey my parents and honor my parents, I also actually want to be a good friend. And I also want to be a good student at school. Even if you suck at school, still be a good student. I want to be good at work one day. I want to be good at helping my neighbor. I want to be just a pleasant person in life. Your parents, by the way, were also kids once. Okay, they understand perfectly what you want. They also once just wanted to play a little more before getting up. They also wanted to just have the nice clothes right away. They also sometimes, when they were kids, just wanted to sleep a bit longer. They also, at times, and maybe still do, just want to isolate themselves and be all alone and not love anyone. They also want to do more fun things than chores. They also one day wanted to rule the house rather than obey their parents. But then they grew up. And they realized that there's much more to life than just your childhood desire for the moment. Take a rope. A rope with a knot near the end. So a really long rope. And let's say this far from the one end, there's a knot. That rope is your whole life. That knot is today. Okay, it's a short piece of rope before the knot. That's your short life so far. Aim to be good not only at the knot today, but aim to be good at all of life for the rest of the rope. Put it this way, aim that you could release this knot and move it over 2 centimeters to tomorrow and tie the knot again. And everywhere along the rope, you want the kind of rope that you can put a good knot in. I once had a rope with a frayed part in the middle. It was just kind of coming loose, but it was still intact. So I was like, I wonder if I just tie a knot on that frayed part, if I can still use the full length of the rope. And so, without cutting it, removing the frayed part, I just put a knot over the frayed part. And then I tightened it. There was something on a trailer we were tying down. And as soon as tension came on the rope, the knot at the frayed part pulled loose. I'm good at making knots, okay, so that was not the problem. It pulled loose. Why? Because the rope wasn't capable of having a knot in that spot. It was a bad piece of rope. You want to be good at all of life. You want to be good at where you are now, so obey your parents, honor your parents, and then look at the rest of life and say, actually, I need to be good at everything. I should be able to untie this knot and tie it anywhere else, and it will still be a good rope. I don't want bad parts of my rope. That's what it means that it goes well with you and you live long in the land. Doesn't matter how long that rope is, it can be a really good rope. Living life long, having a long life while being an idiot is nobody's dream. Okay, nobody wants a long life of suffering. But having a long life when it is going well with you, well, that's what everybody wants. And so verse 3 says, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You want both of those, don't you? If it goes well with me but I die early, that's no fun. If I live long but it's a terrible life, that's no fun either. But if it goes well with me and I live long, well, that's what God offers those who obey and honor their parents. There's a lot of ways to die young because of sin and folly. But interestingly, Proverbs 23 verse 13 says, when you get a proper biblical spank from your father, you won't die. That's not one way to die young. By being disciplined by your father for not obeying and honoring him or your mother. That's not one way of dying. Now, if it's an unbiblical spank, you might die, and that's criminal offense, and you report it to the police very, very quickly. But a proper biblical spank from your father will not be a way you die young. In fact, that's going to be part of the way in which you live long in the land, and it goes well with you. So in the words of Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2, for example, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. It will go well with you, peace, and you will live long in the land. Proverbs 4, verse 10, hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. Aim to be good at all of life. How? Do those first two. Learn to do what you're told. Do it well. Excel at that. And respect your parents. Understand how obedience is a response to authority and honor is a response to those important people God has put in your life. And you will then be good at all of life. Then, like Jesus showed us how, when he was a child, with Joseph and Mary and his half-brothers and sisters, then you too, like Jesus, can grow not only in size, but also in wisdom, and you can grow in favor with God, and you can grow in favor with your parents, and you can grow in favor with the people around you that you meet every day. These are three basic human life skills. An adult who can't eat food by himself, can't go to the bathroom to himself, who can't dress himself, can still master these three life skills. But a person who can, a child who's a genius child who at age 3 knows the Latin alphabet and things like that and is able to do everything perfectly, is the perfect sports kid, an academic kid and everything, but cannot do what he's told, show respect to important people, that kid will be a failure for the rest of his life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today for our children. You have not left them without verses in the Bible. Most of what they learn comes from their parents. And still you intervened and gave some direct verses straight from you as well. Our Lord God, may you be a father to our children. teaching them these things. And as we look at it and just on Bible Hour a little further, Father, would you imprint these truths on our child's hearts so that they would come to salvation, that they'd learn to fear you and walk in your ways, and so that they would be well prepared to be successful adults, successful in biblical terms, the success that truly matters for the rest of their life and certainly also their eternity. Help us as parents to come alongside them and instill these truths in them in a very direct, helpful way, customized to each child as you've gifted us as parents with our children. And Father, may we be those who in this world perhaps are mocked for how we parent, perhaps even oppressed at times. But Father, may we also be the ones who demonstrate in a few years' time that we were right and they were dead wrong. Thank you for truth and clarity. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.